ready for the interview. In a few, get a cue live on a laptop. Watch what I'm gonna do. Welcome to the show. Let them know we got a point of view. Hey, yo, let's have a combo. Say what you feel, be real. That's the motto. Real talk, pronto. Dr. D, PhD, hit an intro. Hold up, wait. Gotta be social, network, global, a home for the locals. Gotta be social, network, global, a home for the locals.
All right, Corey, conscious counsel. That's what we're getting into today.
Conscious counsel, and we're also going to talk about how law and working with a lawyer can be insanely fun.
So this is a different thing because I think a lot of people have a very different idea about law and being fun.
Well, yeah, it's been a long time where it hasn't been fun. So I just thought, why don't we change it up and take something that's not fun and make it fun? Because we choose to.
So, I mean, where did this idea come from? I mean, we'll get into your backstory a little more, but just the idea of making it more fun. When did that start for you?
It's very selfishly driven. It was driven by my own experience being a lawyer before I had my own law firm and not having fun being a lawyer. And I was thinking there's got to be a different way and a better way to do this and to make this happen. And that's sort of, I love doing fun things. I work online, I travel, I play lots of sports, I have lots of friends. I just like doing fun things. And so I wanted, work is one of the things that we'll spend the most amount of our time and our energy doing in our waking lives. So I thought, why not find a way to make it fun?
So tell me a little bit about how you've made it fun for yourself, being a lawyer.
I think I've made it fun, firstly, and I think this applies to anyone who's in any particular field. If you can choose the scope of services that you offer and sort of manipulate and control that, then you can make sure that the things that you're doing are things that light you up and excite you and are inspiring for you. And I think that's sort of the first place. So if one were to look at traditionally at a lawyer's job, probably I do 15% of what a standard lawyer does. And the 15% that I do are things that I love and that excite me. And it's sort of just being selective about what we do and how we do it, if that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. It kind of makes me think about, like, I have my doctorate, but I always thought about having it in a different way. Like, I didn't want to look like a lot of people that have their doctorate. I wanted to do my own thing, kind of have crazy hair, all these different things. I wanted to kind of create my own version of, because there's kind of a preconceived notion. I mean, a lot of jobs of like, you're a lawyer and you need to be like this type of thing, or you need to act like this. So did you kind of look at it from that point of view too, of like, well, am I going to be like that typical, stereotypical lawyer, or I want to break that mold, you know?
That never happened. And I was giving a talk at a conference this past weekend, and I did it barefoot, and I didn't even think about the fact that I was barefoot. And then one of the participants came up to me afterwards and she's like, yeah, you know, you really owned it. You really, you know, being the whole barefoot thing. And then I looked down, I was like, oh, I guess I'm not wearing shoes right now. But I think that the most important thing is, and I'm curious to hear about you having a doctorate, like what part of having a doctorate do you love the most? But I think that the most important thing is just being yourself and like expressing it the way that you want to express it, and having faith that whoever is meant to hear your message and connect with you and work with you and exchange energy with you, they'll find you. But that's based on the condition of you being yourself. So my question to you is, like, what's the thing that you love most about having your doctorate, and what lights you up in and around that area?
Well, I think some backgrounds, like, I never thought I was good enough to get it, actually. And my mom and a few other people in my life were very integral, and they believed in me. I mean, so I have this because I had some wonderful people believe that I could do it. So in many ways, getting it, I did it because other people believed I could be here for that. And then, I mean, the best part I like about it, that's kind of a hard question to answer on some level for me. It's like, I'm not necessarily for the prestige and all that, and call me this or that. It's nice that people acknowledge it, but I kind of like the best part about it is I did something that I didn't think I could do when other people thought I could do. That's the best part of it, I think, for me.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a different way for me, but I just connect with, like you said, the barefoot thing. I did that at a restaurant one time. They didn't like that.
There are health regulations and health codes that some places are more strict at enforcing than others, which that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, for sure. So people, are they surprised when they see you're being barefoot, or how you practice law? Is it like a conversation starter for a lot of people with you?
Yeah, I think it's usually the first reaction I'll always get from people will be like, oh, like I had no idea that you're a lawyer, or I never would have guessed that you're a lawyer. And I'm sort of in a lot of ways, I'm proud about that, because I just want to show everyone and let everyone know you can be yourself. You can be self-expressed. You can have a different lifestyle. You can have a different way that you dress, and you don't have to follow the norms of whatever, you know, an archaic industry has set in front of you. So it's, I think it's sort of funny when it happens, but also I don't take it too seriously. And I'm also just like, I'm so used to it. I'm sort of like jaded by people being like, oh, I didn't expect a lawyer to look like that. I'm like, okay, cool. I get that. But, you know, can I help you? Do you need support? Can I help you protect your business and not get sued is sort of the next thing that I'm interested in talking about with them.
Yeah, for sure. I want to get into that too. But I wanted to go back a little bit. How was your interaction with other lawyers based off of how you are doing your thing?
Yeah, it's interesting because in my firm, I've hired a bunch of lawyers who I've worked with. And I think that there needs to be, I think for the most part, there needs to be some level of acceptance. And I think it's sort of like any relationship, right? In the sense that there has to be alignment. You have to feel like you can communicate openly and honestly. There has to be mutual respect. And I think there has to be a shared vision. And I think there are a lot of characteristics of the typical lawyer which don't really align with and don't make sense for me to continue relationships with. And then there's others where like it just makes sense. Like I had a guy who worked with me for about 2 years who was also a lawyer, but you know, I work online and travel, and he also loved working online and traveling. So he was like backpacking in Mexico and Central America, but then drafting agreements and being amazing for the clients, and all the clients loved him. So I think that resonated a lot stronger than a more traditional lawyer who everything has to be done the way it's always been done. And I think part of being an innovator and a disruptor to some degree is, just accepting that space and being comfortable in it and accepting it for what it is.
Why do you think, I mean, I don't want to like cast a wide net, because I don't know, but just my own personal experience, a lot of people have very negative opinions that I've known about lawyers. And maybe you've heard this on some level with some people. Why do you think there may be some negative opinions about lawyers?
Probably Hollywood. Hollywood would be the first answer. The second answer would be personal experience. And I'm really lucky that I only work with, like, talk about making it fun. I only work with hard leading small business owners. So I have a very specific criteria. If you're making the world a better place, if you're living out your dream, I'm here to support you. I want to see you thrive. If you operate a tobacco company or a mining company, or you're doing something that is not in alignment, you know, with a generally perceived making the world a healthier and better place, I won't work with you. So I think when you get to things like family law, as an example, family law is, it's way more emotional. It's way more complex. I've thank God I've never had to deal with a family lawyer, but I would imagine that in a raw situation like that, maybe you're very frustrated. You're very upset. It's a massive financial commitment. So that's sort of why you would feel a certain way about the person who's probably just doing their job and trying to help you. But like, there's so much frustration and overwhelm about the situation. Whereas for me, like I just got off a call with one of my clients who is getting sued, but I don't know, we find a way to be positive about it and spin it in a certain way. And I think that's a product of law of attraction, but then also just working with like-minded people who, you know, have perspective to look at a bad situation in a positive way. So I can't speak about everything, but again, I think it's probably Hollywood and personal experience and stereotypes that play into that.
Right. And the Hollywood projection is, at least from what I've seen, seems like, well, let's say in real life in a movie. The movie is always a trial lawyer, this person. It's like a big name actor, and it's, you know, it's a murder case. You know, it's a big huge spectacle. But in many ways, the real life one is also kind of like that. It's a big, huge spectacle, and it's all this people saying crazy stuff, and the ethics and all these different things that they just, what people see is what pulls them towards this idea. You know?
It is. And also what's so interesting about what I do and the types of clients who I work with is the reality is that if I did not go to law school and if I did not have a legal practice in these areas of small business law, I would never, ever, ever think about these issues or think about these things. And so I appreciate that when I work with clients, they also aren't thinking about this, and it's not what comes, you know, there's just, when you're an entrepreneur or a small business owner, they don't hand you a manual and they're like, these are the things that you need to be aware of. So such a big part of my job is to try to share information and share resources with people in a responsible and helpful and non-intimidating way so that they can understand, because the repercussions and the risks are serious and real. So that's it.
Yeah. Well, let's get into, I know that you work with a lot of health and wellness, small business owners. So it may be good to really get into what are some of the pitfalls that you see with health and wellness business owners and related to their practice and legalities.
Yeah, I think it's really simple. My goal is to keep all of this really, really simple. And I think the first thing that a health and wellness professional, whether you're working online or in person, you need to have customized specific legal documents about your practice, about the specific risks of your practice, and about the types of relationships that you want to have with your clients. So, you know, in order to set up a Stripe account and build a website and receive payment, you don't need to have any agreements in place in order to do all of that. But when you're doing that, you're opening yourself to liability, and which is a very real thing. And then you're engaging in these relationships that maybe you don't understand the repercussions of. And I think the reason why at my law firm, Conscious Counsel, the reason why we spend most of our time selling packages of legal documents more than anything else is because we just want our clients to have the right documentation in place so that it's sort of like set it and forget it. Because my goal in working with clients is not that they're going to become lawyers themselves, right? I get that they're not going to, but my goal is that they're fully protected and they have the confidence to grow their business and take it in the direction that they want. So I think first and foremost, recognizing that, you know, you don't know what you don't know about operating a business and what specific legalities may be at play, and B, what is the path of least resistance and the simplest way to be fully protected without, you know, a super long time drain or getting bored or falling asleep because you are just zoning out of the information and leaving yourself at risk as a result of that.
That's fantastic. And especially for, you know, in the health and wellness business, being that it's such an unregulated business, you're not getting this information in your educational practice. You may have maybe a course on fitness and legalities. That's a huge maybe, big maybe.
Yeah.
So most of it is left up to a lot of trial and error for that. So it's awesome information.
Yeah, and trial and error it can be a scary place.
Right.
And what's even scarier is like you can go through a few iterations of trial and error without any significant error and think, oh, I've got this. And as an example, one of the most common conversations I'll have with small business owners I'll be like, okay, what are your documents like? And they'll be like, oh, like, yeah, my waiver's really good. I copy and pasted from a couple of different other agreements. And I don't even need to go down that line of inquiring, like, you know, do you know what should be in a waiver of liability? Do you have any legal background? But for some reason, right, it's sort of just like, oh, well, I've gone this far without anything happening. So I guess logically that means I can keep going. Whereas it's like, no, stop, get protected, be comfortable, confident, and protected in your relationships, and then move forward.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really fantastic. And on your end, you're also, like, yoga is big part of your life, correct? So how did this come into your life along with your law practice?
Yeah, I was working at a big law firm, and I didn't do great at making friends at the firm. I've traveled all over the world. I speak a whole bunch of different languages. Like, I'm really good at connecting with people. It's so interesting that, like, the law office was not a place that I couldn't connect with the people. And so the yoga studio where I lived in Vancouver, British Columbia at the time, was where all my friends were. And it just happened. I was working at this big firm, wearing a suit every day, you know, the grind, the hustle, all that. And I went to a class that one of my friends taught, and it was outside of the studio, and no one signed a waiver, and someone got injured. And I went up to the teacher, and who's my friend. I was like, "Hey, like, don't you realize the risk of liability?" And I just got a blank look back, and the response was, "What's liability?" Oh. And I was like, "Oh, okay, maybe no one understands." And then my community in where I lived at that time was very much yoga based. And then I just had conversation with other studio owners or spin studios or gyms. And I was like, "Well, like, do you have contractors or employees? And what do those agreements look like?" And no one I spoke to had any idea what was going on. And then I was like, okay, maybe this is a thing, and maybe it's an opportunity to serve a community that I love and that I'm part of. And that was, those were the incipient steps to really get everything going.
It was interesting. You said you had a hard time connecting in the law office with those guys. Was it just that they were just so different from you, or that they just had a different philosophy about law than you?
Well, they were very indoctrinated and ingrained in the system, and I was brand new, and a lot of the things that were happening didn't make sense to me. And just one example, there was something that I called it, I remember with my friends, I called it robot speak. Where it's sort of like when you're in a corporate environment or in a corporate setting, you don't actually say what you feel like saying or what you think like saying. You just give the answer that you know you're supposed to give.
Right.
And for me, I'm a very expressive, open person. And for me, I couldn't take it. It was such a restriction on self-expression, which is such an important thing for me. So that's one example of what it was like. But I had friends, I had mentors, I did great work. I'm really grateful for the opportunity there. But it's like, I don't know, I feel the coolest thing about traveling the world alone, that like the skill that I feel like I developed, is I'm really quick and I can connect quickly with people, and I can tell quickly if there's a connection or not. Yeah. And that law firm was just 1 year of like trying to force it, and it just never being there.
Yeah, I don't know you at all, but just from like when we first got on and us talking, I cannot ever see you being in that type of environment. It just doesn't seem like it would be even close to your type of thing.
Yeah, it's not, and that's cool. But the cool thing about life is you have different experiences, and then right. You have perspective to understand, hey, where do I thrive? Where am I self-expressed? Where can I really, achieve self-actualization or achieve my potential or be the person I want to be. So never looking back and no regrets, but learned a lot of interesting lessons along the way.
For sure. Do you feel like this was kind of part of you growing up, or was there a turn for you that really, an epiphany, a moment or many moments that pulled you in this direction?
I've never thought about that. Growing up as a kid, certainly being a lawyer was never in my periphery, but I loved sports. And when I finished university, I worked in the NFL with the Oakland Raiders for a couple of years. And I had a whole experience working in professional sports. And I always thought that's what I wanted to do. And then when I was working there, I had some informational interviews. Like, I met Roger Goodell and all of these executives for ESPN and the NFL. And I asked all of them, like, hey, what advice would you give to a 25-year-old version of yourself? And all of them said, go to law school or get an MBA. Hmm. And so in some ways, like, I'd sort of just like, that was ingrained in me, like, oh, all these successful people said to do something, so maybe it makes sense to do it. I think the one piece that of my lifestyle and my career that I definitely, that was always a part of me, was traveling and going to new places and meeting new people. So it's an online law firm. I don't know how many countries I've traveled and lived in since I started about 7 years ago. But I don't, it wasn't like when I was a kid that I was committed to social justice. I was more committed to the sports section than I was to social justice. And it's just cool how life turns out that you're able to combine passions and find a way to create what it is that you want to live.
How did that develop? Like you mentioned, you just mentioned social justice, but also like you mentioned about companies and things, you know, that have practices that you are not aligned with, you won't work with. How did that start developing for you?
Well, the first case I ever got handed to work on was defending a tobacco company. And I have to say, like, it's so interesting. Again, like you look at contrast in your life. In that moment, I was so disheartened because I studied to go to law school. I got to law school. I got great grades. I feel like there's so much positive that I can do in the world. And then boom, like right out of the gate, the most obvious, typical, classic example of what I shouldn't be doing with my education and my abilities. And that sort of just set the tone for me. And even more than that, before I started my own firm, I worked at a big law firm, then I worked at a small law firm. And I just realized like I wasn't aligned with any of the people that I was working with, and that the most important thing for me is alignment. And I just get along so much better with people who I find alignment with in what they're doing, in what their attitude and what their disposition is. And I think also what I realized is, very frankly, as a business owner, you're less likely to have issues or problems or challenges with your clients if you guys get along and have a similar worldview. So I've sort of been selective in that sense, and just, man, I want peace. I want peace in the world, and I want peace for myself, and I want peace for my clients, and I want peace for the team. So when you prioritize peace as a decision, then you attract certain people, and there's certain situations that no matter what someone wants to pay you, you don't accept it because you know that'll probably disrupt that.
I can't, man, that's crazy that you started out defending a tobacco company right off the bat. And I always think to myself, like, how do you defend something that you're like diametrically opposed to? Like mentally, how do you jump through that?
For me, it was very simple. It was my first day on the job, working at a big law firm, and whoever's case it was, right? There was a senior lawyer. That's their client who's paying him a retainer. So they're getting hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. I'm at the bottom of the pole. So I am the one with the most to prove and the most work to do. And I did not have a choice. I definitely, at that point, I couldn't say, hey, sorry, this goes against my personal beliefs. It's like, hey, you're in the grind, you're in the hustle, you're a cog in the wheel. You don't have a voice to say whether or not that's something that aligns with you or not.
Yeah, man. So that almost was that basically like a very quick turning point for you? You saw that and you were like, hey, I don't want to do this.
It was one piece. It's also like the amazing thing about experience in life is you have to pass through certain things to come out the other side. So that was an indication, like right away, okay, red flag right away. But also, okay, maybe this is part of, and you know, I didn't know what it was to be a lawyer. So maybe this is what I have to put up with, and maybe this is what I have to do. And my time at those other law firms taught me everything about professionalism, about being a great lawyer, about how to serve clients. So it was a worthwhile investment for what I was doing. But also, it's a process, man. Like you have to go through a process in order to become a better person at the end of it. So it wasn't like my first day, you know, I gave in my papers and I quit. It was a super prestigious job. There's a line of 1,000, you know, kids who would do anything to have that be their first job. And also, I feel like you don't have the confidence. You know, you touched on confidence at the start, right? Where other people believe in you and then you realize that you can do something. My first day on the job, I don't have the confidence to be like, oh, I can actually do this better than it's being done. And so, yeah, there's a requisite period of contrast and experiencing things that maybe you don't love that help show you what you do love and what you can create.
That's fantastic. Do you ever mentor other lawyers who maybe feel similar to you or want to be more in alignment with who they actually are?
I'm exploring that now. I have an idea of launching a lawyer coaching program called Hard Leading Lawyer Coaching, and the idea is to teach other lawyers how to work online, how to live the life of their dreams, and how to choose their community of clients. So it's something that I see happening in the future. But yeah, I've had many conversations over the past years with other lawyers and law students who are interested, but I've never, one of my personal missions is to transform the way legal services are provided for hard leading individuals, whether that's the lawyer or whether that's the client who has the business. So it's something that feeds into what it is that I want to do and how I want to do it. And informally, I've had a lot of conversations, but I think formally, I'm just getting the ground under my feet to put something together to really make a substantial impact and help a lot of people.
Did you see anyone else that kind of embodied this spirit that you have and thought, I kind of want to mimic this or take my own thing for it? Or did you just kind of say, I'm just going to go my own thing? This is what I'm going to do.
I didn't see anyone doing anything in health and wellness when I started. So 7 years ago, which is like, and also I took my business online 7 years ago. Now it's more common because of COVID and people remote working and all that stuff. But 7 years ago, I was like, if I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to travel. And if I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to work with epic people or I'm not going to do it. But to answer your question, I had a mentor who I worked at a small law firm and it was his place. And he taught me so much about the marketing side. And he was like, even if the spectrum is here, he was like pushing the spectrum in the sense of like, he was showing me what was possible, which I'll always be super grateful for him. And then I just sort of took that and I put my own style on it and made it, you know, a much more extreme version of what it is. But again, in a way that relates to me and what makes sense to me.
And that's incredible. So in your journeys, what's been some of the most memorable places and experiences you've had in this time?
Wow. There's been so much. I just spent 2 months in throughout Eastern Africa, which was really, really special. I lived in Brazil for a couple of years. I was in an ashram in India. The answer is all of it, right? I mean, it's sort of like the present moment is what's really so special about all of it, and being here now and seeing amazing things, and like it's cool to have cool photos and awesome memories from having been to all of these places. But I think the cooler part is being able to follow what you always thought was possible. And that's what excites me the most. Like it could be in my hometown of Toronto, Ontario, or it could be in Uganda in the jungle with the gorillas, or it could be living on a remote beach in Ghana by myself in nature. Like there's all these sort of things that in some ways like objectively sound cool or bucket item lists or whatever. Yeah. But for me, what's been most special has been pursuing and enjoying the life of my dreams and also being so present to every day that I get to do it. Not every day is easy. Not every day is simple. There's a lot of challenges in life and life's not always easy. And there's frustration, there's expectations and everything. It's a mixed bag. But I think the best part of it has been doing it and being present to the fact that I'm doing it, which really, really excites me.
You know, it sounds like you're very confident and you have a lot of peace in your philosophy. And besides the, you know, experiences you've had with other people and mentors and things, how else have you been educated in this philosophy that seems to drive you?
I listened to Esther Hicks. I don't know. Do you know who Esther Hicks is?
I don't know.
Okay. Esther Hicks, she teaches about the law of attraction. So I listen to her every morning. There's a guy whose name is Bob Proctor. To be honest, self-help and different self-help teachers for me have been an amazing resource. Also like philosophy. I've been reading books on Taoism. I was just in Bali. I did a yin yoga teacher training. And so it's whatever it is, it's a work in progress. Everything always is a work in progress. And I think the cool thing in life is finding which tools help bring relief and finding the tools that make things a little bit easier. So like, as an example, this morning I woke up agitated and probably the first half an hour, and I meditate every morning. I've been meditating for years. And even in my meditation, I actually like almost stopped my meditation because I was so agitated. And then it's just peeling it back and being like, okay, what are the things that make me feel good? What helps me foster gratitude? What helps me foster appreciation? And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to listen to Esther talk until I feel relief. And maybe it was like 20 minutes of sitting and writing notes this morning. And then there was a moment where I forget what she was talking about, but it was just like a moment where I was like, oh yeah, everything's going to be okay. Everything's always working out for me. I'm trying my best. And it's a daily practice, whatever it is.
And you just, it just sounds like you really work on yourself on a regular basis. And you're always moving towards who you are, who you're becoming. And I resonate that with that very deeply. It's a big part of my life, as well as how do I continue to grow and be aligned with that word alignment, I think will be a big part of this episode.
Yeah.
Are you in alignment with the things that you really are very close to you and dear to you and important to you? And are there actions moving towards that? You know,
what are some of your daily practices or practices that you foster?
Yeah. So one of the things I do is in the morning, I do like a sound bath. I really enjoy like ambient, kind of like cyber, like a Blade Runner type of thing, movies. I know that's like sci-fi ambient music. And it just makes me feel very relaxed. And it puts me in a zone where I'm like ready to do the things that I want to do for the day. And then I love gardening, big gardener, enjoy gardening. Love being closer there, like put my hands on the earth, growing things, I think is really important. The cycle of, you know, things growing and dying and coming back. I'm very connected to that, for that traveling, meaningful connection with people one-on-one. I really enjoy that, sitting down with someone, nurturing the relationship with that person. I feel a vibration with that when doing that. So it's like those type of things. You
know. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, but that stuff, like I've grown over many years, like I've really taken a long time to just, okay, how am I becoming me? And these are different practices, I think, that always help me become me. And they'll probably be very different throughout as time goes on. I always accept like where I'm moving towards and what's meaningful for me. And
yeah,
you're very much like meaning feels very important. It sounds like meaning's very important to you.
What do you mean by meaning?
Just like, there's different meanings that you have in your life, like what's meaningful, your law practice and how you practice it is meaningful. Doing it online, traveling, like this is a lot of meaning for you. And I think a lot of people search for like, what's that meaning? How do I create this meaning or step into things that feel meaningful to me and then actually do it? Like actually doing that. A lot of people want things. It's the doing part. It's very difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah, can be, but it's like you said, it's an ongoing process. It'll probably look different.
Yeah.
And it'll also, the coolest thing is it's going to look however it looks and it's just going to unfold naturally. And, you know, one day you pick something up and you realize that you really like it. And that's all that we can do. But more than anything, and even hearing you speak as well, it's like, I'm certain that it's a daily practice.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about it is whatever I did, I wake up today and it's just the question is, what are the tools that are going to make me feel the best and, you know, in most alignment with who I am today? Yeah. And whatever I've done in the past actually doesn't matter at all. Like I can drop all of it or I can continue it, but just that self-discovery and consistency in showing up for yourself.
Self-discovery. I love that. That's such a big thing. I hope that people take that one of the things they take away from this, obviously, the different way you're approaching law and the heart-centered approach with it, but also that the self-discovery is really important. You know, push yourself hard to know yourself, you know,
yeah,
to really discover who you are, because so much of it initially is a lot of the other influences in growing up, but maybe that's not you. Maybe, you know, you need to find who you are actually in the process of things, you know?
Yeah, that's it's interesting. It's part of what's so interesting about that is how can you make the voice you listen to the most your own voice? Which is that in and of itself is a practice to trust yourself, to follow yourself, to not pay attention to what other people are doing or saying, and listening to that voice inside of you and giving it precedence over all of the other factors, so long as you're acting in integrity and it's with the person you want to be and obviously not harming others. But it's just a fun journey, man. But what else can we say, right? We're here, we're having a good time.
We're here.
And we're out. Yeah, that's we're here. We're definitely here.
Well, I have to say, speaking of being here, thank you for being here with me today. I have a tremendous amount of gratitude that you gave me some of your time. And time is a big currency for me. It's the biggest thing I feel as I've gotten older. And so that time is valuable. Your time, thank you for giving me some of it to speak with me today. I really appreciate that, Corey.
With pleasure. And I can assure you that there's probably more I've taken from this conversation, hearing a little bit about you than you'll know. So I think that reciprocity and that, you know, mutual growth is the name of the game.
That is the name of the game. So would love for you to just share a little bit about websites, anything like that, that people could find you and just be more aware and potentially be a part of the work that you're doing.
Yeah, the law firm is called Conscious Counsel. You can just throw Conscious Counsel into Google and you'll find it. My name's Corey Sterling, CoreySterling on all the social medias. We're Conscious Counsel. So reach out, say what's up. Happy to connect with everyone all the time. And thank you so much for this platform and this engaging conversation.
Awesome. Thank you, Corey. I really appreciate it.
Cheers. Thanks.